Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Just need a confirmation. That's all.
But I just let you guys, I love just here sitting back. You know, I'm usually the one sitting back watching.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, anyway, you know, Boss Lady's listening, so we got to make sure we on our P's and Q's, across our T's and dot our I's. So I am going to officially wake up. Oh, I am. So I'm ready. Can you tell I'm tired? I'm going to open up the show with our Thursday night edition of Writing Royalty Radio. And as I said before, Writing Royalty Radio is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness, and also going down memory lane on some old-time shows. And with that, I am going to ask everybody to head over to Amazon or your local bookstore and pick up some of my co-host's fabulous books. Nene Capri has a hot release with her Blazing Pen, the P-Trap Series 1, 2, and 3. And she is busy penning Part 4 as we speak, so I am so excited to be getting that into my hands shortly. She also has the Trust No B-Series 1, 2, and 3. And as everyone that knows Nene, she shares that title with the one and only Cass Streetlet author. And those are definitely some classics to get into your book. Now, D-Street, she has some titles under that also. She has Tainted, Live Fear and Death. And she's busy penning Part 2 to that. And my Down Memory Lane co-host, Aaron Bebo, he has some things that you need to pick up also. He has Rat Hunters, which I've read, Change for a Dollar Till My Casket Drops, which I've read, and those are some great titles. And also under G Street, he has I Used to Love Her, and he is busy pinning Part 2 to that. So be on the lookout for that. And if you were with us last night, he actually has I Used to Love Her on sale right now for 99 cents, I believe. Right, Bebo?
Yes. I Used to Love Her and Tainted is on sale right now for 99 cents. So y'all need to get over there, get them titles in your life. I Used to Love Her is coming shortly, the part two. I Used to Love Her 2, that's T-O-O. It's going to be crazy. And I want y'all to get ready and be ready for the way I transition this story and keep it all the way hip hop and still have all the drama and everything that you love. It's gonna be way, way, way better than part one. Like you ain't even when one thing about me, when you get a book from me, you ain't gonna never get the same story over and over again. Like, Tony done read 3 books from me, and ain't none of them is the same story.
Nope. I've actually read more than 3 books from you, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've read more than 3. And he also has Boo Thang, which I've read, and that's also on sale for 99 cents. And look out, because part 2 is also coming. So we have a great summer of reading coming up.
Yes, for real. The Land Pirates is going to be back in full effect. Gonna be like y'all watching Shatters all over again on your Kindle.
But those are only on sale for a limited time. They're only on sale for a limited time, so please hurry up, either one click or get to your local bookstore and cop those classics. And with
I apologize, Cody.
I'm gonna kick it over to Alicia, and you can go ahead and say what you gotta say to our partner. What's up, Aaron?
Yeah, you got to get over there and get Boo Thang. See, you got to go check out the Land Pirates.
I was meaning to click on it yesterday, and then I got busy. I've been over here like a crazy woman. But, yeah, because I haven't read it yet, and I want to read it because I know you're about to hit part 2, and you're about to change some stuff up, so I know it's about to be good.
It's definitely some heat. It's some heat already.
I need some heat. Hey, everybody. I'm sorry.
Stop treating us so cold, and you'll be able to be warmer where you at.
I got stuck in the elevator. No one even came out there to check on me.
I think you ran into Brenda, the lady from the green room with the big breath.
No. I hired a new employee. Somebody else is down there. Brenda's down there for you, but it's somebody else down there. I had to expand the green room so that the ladies will have something when they go to hair and makeup. Nobody wants to look at Brenda's boobs.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I've seen them.
Yeah, we got Dominic down there.
Is it the guy Terrell with the switch?
No.
No, we got Dominic down there.
He does the hair and makeup, but the other guy who I'm going to not even name because he don't want to be put out there like that, he does the other services and things that the ladies may need. So I'm not even going to say his name, but I wasn't down there in the green room. I was actually stuck on the elevator. But it's okay. Y'all didn't come out there and check on me. The alarm was buzzing, Aaron in here, boo singing and land pirating and stuff. And no one even cared.
Hey,
but it's okay.
I'm out the elevator.
I'm in here now. Whew, I'm disheveled. I'm sitting down. And we're going to get it going. And Alicia has a role to play, so I don't want to interrupt that. And then Aaron can continue on, because Aaron, don't be Karen when I'm stuck in the elevator and stuff like that. So...
Nah,
go ahead, Lele.
But for the record, I was paying bills so we could keep our elevators running.
Yes.
Right, we need to get the repair people out here. Yes.
Lord Jesus, take the wheel. Yes, I mean, honestly. We're the only people in this building, for crying out loud. They should be checking on some of us sometime.
I know. Well, y'all who don't know who I am, I am Alicia. I always keep everybody up to date on what's good and hot. So one click on Amazon and Nook, you want to get author LaVon's book, Girlfriends, that is available now on Kindle and Nook. You also want to get And Then There Was None by Clay Thomas Williams, as well as Stuck on Pause by Tanya Robinson. Also, you want to make sure you get that G Street Heat Motivation by Arthur Swift and Trust Nobody, which somebody told me yesterday Trust Nobody was off the chain, Tony. So me and you, we got to get cracking on that one. By both those books are 99 cents. Yeah, they inboxed me yesterday and was like, it was off the chain from beginning to end. I was like, oh, I got to get that started. Well, so we want to remind you that And I Used to Love Her, both are on sale on Amazon only for 99 cents. You want to get those in your Kindle if you don't already have them, especially Tainted, too. If you are on Facebook, there is a Tainted 2 excerpt on Nene Capri's author page. You might want to get Tainted Part 1, read that excerpt. There's also a Trap 4 excerpt on Nene Capri's author page. So you want to check those two out. If you haven't got caught up in this trap, you want to make sure y'all trap them before it drops so you'll be ready, because Part 4 is going to be a beast.
I'm excited. I'm like, wow, it's going down. It's about to go
Absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely.
Yep, it's going down. Yep, and they got to go the way it goes. It might be taking a little bit longer, you know, but for me, it's all about the process. You know what I'm saying? You giving a good book to the readers is like having a baby. You know, you want to check and make sure it got all its fingers and toes. you know what I'm saying? You got to make sure that everything is right. You know, I'd rather take my time and be, you know, a little bit late and have, you know, my readers, you know, waiting a little bit, you know, not a lengthy period of time, but enough time so that they can, when they get the product, it's a quality product versus me running and jumping and here y'all go and it's not quality. So I want to, you know, hold, you know, a high standard to the brand. So it's taking me a little longer to get everything tight, but it's okay. It's going to be well worth it. You know, the readers are going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy interacting with them once they have read it, and it's going to be good. And, you know, we want to put out quality work. Me and Aaron was just talking about that. Like, you know, you got to always be elevating your pen, going to the next level, and continuously giving the readers what they deserve, not just what they want. You know, I think some authors are jump and just give the readers what they want without giving them what they deserve and making sure everything is quality and, you know, is done properly, you know, to the best of your ability. You'll never satisfy every reader because everybody has a different appetite, you know, for reading. But we do owe to our readers to make sure that we give them a quality product and, you know, in a timely fashion. So that's all I got to say about that. But go ahead, Alicia. I digress.
We got a wonderful show for you today. We have the sweetest person in the world, author Wesley, the Godfather Hunter in the house. Our today is True Blue, Reality Turn Fiction. And it's a book about himself and his life. So I'm glad that, you know, he's speaking on a lot of things. Because, you know, some people need to hear that. It may help somebody else or prevent somebody else from doing some things, you know, or just cause people just to listen to themselves and listen to other people and just think a little
bit on some of the things that you're doing. So I'm super excited about him being here today. And
yes.
Just to remind you guys, tomorrow we do have a show. It is tomorrow we have author Akira Keys. If you get her books are just author Keys on the front, but she's the author of Pink Panties, which is an erotic series, if you guys haven't checked that out. And author Sade McGraw is in the house tomorrow as well. So let's kick this show off, y'all.
Right, all right, all right. What's up, Mr. Bebo? Did they already talk about dinner and stuff while I was in the elevator? Did we already discuss that, what you had, who cooked, you know, what went down? Because that's very important in the clubhouse. Like, we don't play. We about to have food life. What's up, Aaron?
Aaron, did you cook?
I'm well fed. I had to, come on, Alicia. You know you already seen you over there with the steam cooker on tonight. You better go check.
Yes, I do.
You better go run
I
and check. You better
oh my
go
God,
run and
check
to see
check
what's going
timer.
On. Hold on. Uh-uh. What's going on, man? You still got the thing on? It's still clicking? Dinner should have been on the table about an hour ago.
You know what? I was running behind.
See, there you go.
That's okay because my husband got home late, so I'm still on time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing. I watched your little contraptment on an infomercial last night, and I was like, wow. This
so
is
what does it actually do? Let's talk about
like,
that for a minute.
It's like an oven.
It's the new age pressure cooker. You remember back in the day your mom had or your grandmama had the pressure cooker back in the day and used to sit on the stove with the little thing, the top, and used to twitter around? Well, it's just a new age version. They've just made it electronic.
And it
couldn't, you know, my mama could do all that in the pressure.
When I was down there in North Carolina on the book signing, my uncle had put a duck. He did the duck, and it was a whole duck. He had cleaned it, seasoned it, did everything, put that thing in there, and I swear, in like an hour or less, it was done, looked like rotisserie chicken. I mean, it was, I don't eat meat, but Keisha was with me. And he was like, she got to taste it with me. And they was eating it. He had made some homemade gravy and this, that, and the third. I was like, dang. And I looked at the meat, and I was like, it was tender. It was well done. Like It was well done? Like, it was tender, and it was juicy looking. I was like, and I don't eat meat. I said, but I know what meat looks like when it's good, when it's done. And I was like, and the skin was crisp, you know, like that nice crisp that you cut into, and it's juicy, tender. So I see that it does work, but... You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Each cook has its own.
Yeah, duck is
I just
definitely
want to say,
good,
I am the queen of kitchen gadgets. And you
You're
can literally, you know, I've been using a pressure cooker for, I say, 2 years now. You know, and if you do want the skin crispy, you just brown it before. But you can literally make food in minutes. You can make barbecue ribs in 15, 20 minutes, homemade mac and cheese in 6 minutes. You know, I can literally do an infomercial myself.
I see.
Yeah,
but the difference is
I made lamb for the first time.
Look, Alicia also decided. Alicia like, y'all.
Yes.
Y'all playing, we about to eat white tonight. We having lamb.
She's so crazy.
Yes. My husband loves lamb, and I was like, I don't know about
She's
that.
She's like, I got
that.
Something for him.
Got the pressure cooker. I made some lamb. He was like, ooh, that's so good. It's just falling off the roster. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew what I was doing, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that
I was praying that it came out good.
We need to holler at the people and see if we can get them to back the show because, I mean, like, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks now. Five people got a new wave of
it. All you
got
to do is go ahead and type up the cover letter and shoot it out to him. I'm dead serious.
And get it out there with Alicia's testimonial.
Big companies like that, Alicia, you guys shoot the video. I'm going to send it out to him. I'm going to write the cover letter and send it to him. And we're going to, nah, because big companies like that, they be having a budget set aside for marketing.
Yeah, we need that budget.
For real. They ain't going to give you the whole budget, but they might kick about $10,000.
Well, it's a good thing. We all got, you know, our interesting ways of doing different things. I think that's what gives such a great formula. to our show. Everybody has something unique and different and special that we bring to the air. Tonight we're going to bring all of that while we get the Godfather on here out from the West Coast. Shout out to the West Coast. Shout out to Callie Kim. Like, she's official, good person, and she is doing
yes,
a lot, helping him promote, and she's doing things for authors. So shout out to Callie Kim, the West Coast. We got people out there who definitely show love to urban fiction, so we want to shout them out. That's where he is, and that heat is coming from out that west. So we definitely got to find out. Tonight's subject is True Blue, reality turned fiction. I will say real quick before we get the guests on here that, you know, I think it's happening a lot, Aaron, in the industry, and I think we was having a conversation about that earlier, about, you know, people taking that reality and fictionalizing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think even the callers the other night when we had the readers on, they were saying, like, they could tell that, you know, an author or whatever is not about that life. You know, they write about stuff and then they talk a certain kind of way, but you could kind of tell that that ain't really them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they get too far into art thinking that the readers want, you know, some gangster, some thug to write them, you know, literature. Now, I'm not saying that that's not the taste of, you know, some of the people who enjoy urban fiction. They probably do want to see the dude who's behind the pen. Like, I hope he is thorough as how he write. You know what I'm saying? We have readers say, like, ooh, the sex scenes, is that you? You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about, you know, a persona and, you know, doing different things that could make people think that our genre of writing is not just about, you know, literature and creativity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you done fictionalized your own reality. How you feel about that, Aaron, before we bring the Godfather in here?
Yeah, I think that what I think is, I think it's just, I think that it's just a bad idea in the sense of, because what's happening is people are using it for a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why I think that, you know what I mean? Because if they weren't, like, anybody that's really seriously about anything that's, you know, so-called real or gangster is all so-called, you know what I mean? I'm just saying so-called because, you know, you don't know what, nobody knows that unless they really that, you know what I mean? Because people don't, you know, nobody's going to be over here writing books all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And mixing those two together. Like,
right.
Literature don't go with destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Like being about mm-hmm. being about something that showcasing destruction or being destructive to any type of communities or people or person,
mm-hmm.
and especially those people of your same, you know, origin, then
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't go hand in hand. It's impossible. So when I think it's just a bad idea as a promotional tool, and I think it started as a promotional tool. And now I think that it was a tool that shouldn't have been used, period. But and it's being so misused right now that some
mm-hmm.
of these situations are turning serious or
mm.
into real beasts when it really was nothing to begin with.
Mm.
Like, it's just got, because now the persona has gotten, like, a person start walking with an extra set of skin for so long, it starts feeling comfortable on them,
mm.
even though they know mm. it's not them. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You start walking with an extra set of skin on, you start really, you know, you start feeling different, and it becomes comfortable to you. And then
mm-hmm.
if you, it's hard to sometimes when you see the, if you reflect back on the truth of who you are and it isn't as glorifying as when you put the skin on, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you'd rather live that lie than to just let the truth be seen and be like, yo, nah, it ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because you was
and
walking with that skin so long and it became comfortable.
Hmm. Go ahead, lady.
I'm glad you said that, Aaron, because I'm thinking it was a bad marketing tool, but a lot of street-lit authors, whether they're behind the wall or not, they all have a story to tell. And I just
mm-hmm.
don't think at the time that maybe the publishing companies knew how to put the stories out there that they wanted to tell and allow people to receive it and buy it. So they had to amp it up, you know, to make it seem like it was something else.
No, I disagree, because actually when the sales were better. The market, everything was better when the people were just doing business and not playing. No props, no nothing. Just the people wanted the books. And I disagree in that sense with what you're saying, because it wasn't needed. It wasn't better, because as soon as it came in, look what happened. The decline started because people stopped doing business.
It was something fresh as far as reading. You know, when Wahida and them came into the literature, no, they don't go hand in hand. But at the same time, when you don't know, like if you have something new and you don't know how it's going to be received, you're not quite sure when you do it, like in any business venture. You're never sure how you do it, but you're just stepping out on that first step. You don't know if the step going to fall or not. You don't know if you're going to fall, if it's going to collapse. But you're just going out there and you going forward. Not that's what I meant by as far as people not knowing how to receive it and that fear there. So they have to amp it up just a little bit. But I think majority of them have something to say, and they want, you know, readers, especially young readers or readers of age, to know, you know, everything that you think it is, it's not really what it is, you know, and they want them to know, and I think that's their way of reaching back to let people know, you know, everything you think the streets may be, okay, I'm going to tell you what it is exactly. Just like, what is that, Alcide Banks came on and he was like, you know, I want them to know, this is what this is like, this is what this is like, because it's not,
exactly.
You know, it's not a they have this mask over thinking it's something, you know,
I agree with that, but I think put it in the book. You have to keep it in the book, though.
He's a little rare.
And he was talking about keeping it in the books. He wasn't saying, yo, I'm online, like, pushing this, or I'm saying this, or I'm talking about what this, that, and the third, like, none of that. He was saying, I write it in the books like this so they know. If you're writing books, keep it books. That other stuff is not needed because that they don't go hand in hand.
It's the same like with hip hop. Like when you know they find out that you know a person, like case in point, you got Rick Ross who jumps out there all willy nilly and pretty much takes the identity of a man who really is about that life. You know, you have a guy who was, you know, straight laced. You know, going to work every day, you know, he a correction officer, no, nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? But then when he come out, the persona that they had was like, he kind of looked like Biggie. He got that husky voice. You know what I'm saying? Like we can market him as a tool. You know what I'm saying? Nothing was brought up. And then when they asked him about, you know, you got a job as a correction officer, he just threw that stuff right underneath the bus. He was like, oh no, I don't. He had to go back and recant because he had lied, because in his eyes, he thought the only way he could be popular to the people who enjoys his music, which is is to have a scandal, to take reality and make it fiction. You know what I'm saying? And then you hear this, you have a guy who actually sacrificed his whole life, was living where you were working, not in the same place, but you know what I'm saying, actually living the life of a prisoner. You was a CO. You take his life and identity, and he was really out there, really risked his life for the streets, for what he did, and then your story is not the same. And now, in that aspect, I say about that, you know, that is what we're talking about with that reality turning into fiction. You know what I'm saying? Not being able to cut it off or turn it off, you know what I'm saying? So it stays within the art. You know, like you have a lot of folks who rap that hardcore stuff, and they have the college degrees. They done been to the service. Like, they got families at home. They taking off their coat and hanging it up real nice. They not doing none of the stuff that the character plays, you know what I'm saying, for the art, you know, and it's the same with the authors, but you can't mislead the people or guide them, you know what I'm saying, in a way where the reality of what's going on turns just as fiction as the work. So
exactly. Yeah. Stephen King don't got to walk in the courthouse and let a machete fall out of his shirt so people be like, oh, man, maybe this guy's out here killing people when he's writing his books.
Right.
He don't got to do that. Like, he don't got to bring the props. All he got to do is drop the work. And it's not for, you know, you don't need to know nothing about what you know about Stephen King. All his books say the same thing in the back. He lives out in New England, blah, 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 and that's it, all of them. Same story, y'all. Read the story in between the pages. You got to keep it books. When you're pushing books, you're pushing books. You can't be putting that other face on it.
He'll talk at press conferences, talk about some, you know what I'm saying, because that, you know, that serial killer stuff, like, I'm about that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'll do that if I have to, you know what I'm saying? If I get at a book signing, I'll serial kill everybody up in here, you know what I'm saying? You ain't going to.
Exactly.
You're
like, bro, you can't be going to like, a university of intellectuals, like, yeah, I came here to keep it real with y'all. I just left off the Grand Concourse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you was just on, you know, like, you was just in the hood, like, what is the, all right, this is the guy y'all brought here?
Yeah, for real.
Like you can't be doing that. Like, it taints the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's lit. You know what
the
I mean?
Go ahead. Yeah, that was
like,
awesome. You got a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, it's literature. You can't be doing that. Like, you got to really represent what it is. Like, how do you expect the people to take us seriously
mm-hmm.
if your whole persona is, I'm really that. Like, I'm really what you reading in between. That shit is scary.
Yeah.
Those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, how do you want any intellectuals who really can't relate to that, but you want them to relate, but you're the person that you did, like, you're the person that's showing up in the book. They don't even want to sit down and have the conversation with you now.
Right.
And
you're
not
real.
So, yeah, yeah. So, like, you got to really be knowing when to take that skin off and just, we just need a united front,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Something that's really not going to happen, that's not realistic, but that's what really needs to happen. So that could
mm-hmm.
be awareness amongst ourselves, me
right.
included.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Awareness amongst ourselves, because we can't make people aware through our works if we ain't aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we drawing blindly, it don't matter what's on the canvas. You might get some
right.
oohs and ahs over here and there, but it'll never be in a museum. Nah,
that was,
for real, yo. That was,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yep. Right.
That's just
that's
my
right.
opinion, though.
Hey, we all here to voice our opinion. That's what we do. Everybody's opinion is valuable to the conversation. You know, Alicia pointed out a very good point about them not really knowing how to market. You know, when you know, urban fiction authors first came out, they didn't really know how to market them, how they was going to be able to do it. You did have some people doing some time, you know, coming on the scene, Wahida and them, you know what I'm saying? She was locked up for most of her beginning of her career. During that Fed time and getting in trouble for trying to put books out, you know, but she never glorifies it. You know what I'm saying? Half the time she waits till they tell her the story, you know. She actually did some time, more time than most dudes, you know what I'm saying? But she don't get or the interview and be like, boy, let me tell you, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, repping that set is usually when they ask the question. Then she explains how she got, you know, on her journey, you know, which makes it even more unique that she was able to still write and, you know, create and do some things for her family, you know what I'm saying, with all the odds against her. That's when it's real. Not when you real, you don't have to tell your story. Other people tell it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes it
yeah.
real. That's what makes it unique. That's what makes it authentic. You know what I'm saying? Because other people are telling your story. But tonight, we had a wonderful show on tap. This is Writing Royalty Radio. We have Mr. Aaron Bebo. We have the fabulous Miss Tony and the wonderful Miss Leisha. I am Nene Capri. We're going to be talking about True Blue, reality turned fiction. We got the Godfather Wesley all the way from the West Coast. We're going to bring him in the clubhouse, and we're going to keep this conversation going. Thank you, all of our listeners. We're going to try to get it hot for y'all tonight. Miss Leisha, can you please introduce our guest and bring him in, Aaron, when she gets done with the bio? Leisha?
Absolutely. Wesley the Godfather Hunter is an L.A. native and an author of the Self-Help How-To Advisory for Women's Empowerment Guide called Everything She Should Know, What Daddy Never Told You, and Mama Never Knew,
mm-hmm.
as well as the autobiography True Blue, The Life and Times of a Real and True Mafioso, which journals his travels as a 98 Main Street Mafia crip beginning in 1979, and it takes you into and through the case, which he finds himself facing 36 counts of robbery, 2 counts of attempted murder, 1 deputy, a hostage situation, and 12-hour police standoff. Oh, wow.
That's
with over 20 completed manuscripts and having just signed with the indie major DC Book Diva. Shout out to DC Book Diva. She always doing her thing. And beneficial books. You can expect that many more of Godfather's titles will be coming to the market very soon. Erin, let's bring on the Godfather.
Good evening. Good evening. What's good?
Hey, what's good?
Hey.
Good
evening.
Hey, how you doing? All right.
Welcome to the clubhouse.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, we are happy
y'all
to have you here.
Y'all had quite a show going on without me. I was listening to y'all's show.
our little intro chitter-chatter.
That's our red carpet. We had to roll out the red carpet. So we was just getting it ready, the lights, the cameras, the action. We was like, okay, we got to do it big. We got you all the way out here from the West Coast. You know your time is valuable. You write and entertain us under very unique circumstances. So we commend you for that, and we thank you for being able to be here. So we definitely want to hear what you have to say, you know, listening to your bio, knowing just a small bit about you. If you can just give us a little bit about your journey, you know, before literature, all the way up until, you know, let the callers, the readers, get to see the author behind the pen.
Right. Well, that's quite a story in and of itself, right? I mean, I've been writing for 25 years. So, you know, my struggle has been just really to get out there, to get beyond these walls, you know, as a West Coast writer in particular, but as an incarcerated West Coast writer, it's really been a struggle. You know,
right.
Because nobody's really been checking for us. This e-book came now. I mean, you got a million people writing books. That opened a lot of doors. But up until this point, you know, I'll jump right to it and say the only one that had an eye towards us or even would respond to us was the Cat Kwan. I've got to give him that. I won't take that from him, you know. And, you know, that was limited. But at the same time, it was there. Well, me being incarcerated, of course, especially, I mean, e-books makes it a lot easier because anybody can jump on Facebook and do your own little tour or whatever. But before then, it was like you couldn't get out there and actually get around the country to sell books. I mean, your circumstances kind of limit you, which takes, you know, where you see a lot of you start doing ghostwriting situations. So, yeah, my journey has been, man, I can go on and on.
Right.
But in particular, it's like I said, just trying to get my work into the right hand has been a struggle. I mean, we can look at the ones who had the opportunity. We can point at the Wahida Clarks who made it. We can point at the Dutchess who found opportunities. But what about the hundreds of more? You know, I've been writing for years. I get letters from dudes all across the country all the time with material and trying to find a way to get on. Honestly, I mean, think about it. There's no other label like DC Book Diva who really looked behind the walls and gave dudes like myself a chance. I mean, what's the likelihood of me coming out from her? I mean, how does that even happen? Facebook made it possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, but the struggle in and of itself, I was in this game before the pioneers, before all the name brand people. So I had nobody to open the doors or to show me the way. You know, I'm the guy who I bought the literary guy at the agency, wrote like 600-700 letters, you know, trying to find an agent to pick me up, thinking that was the way. You know, I went POD. I spent over $50,000 trying to find an opportunity. It just, I had to pay to learn.
Right.
It's a lot easier nowadays.
Exactly. You're absolutely correct. And we got to bring, you know, the light back to what gets it started. You know, people like DC Book Diva and Wahida Clark and, you know, J.M. Benjamin and them, they be out there hustling them paperbacks, keeping that paperback alive. You know what I'm saying? Getting into the reader's faces. And that's one of the things that gives you that connection with the readers and keeps them, you know, loyal to the service that you provide, whether, you know, the people behind the wall, you know, the people, you know, out on the streets, because they have a large prison population that get the books, and they make sure them books get in them prisons, get them in their hands. You know, we have to remember to hold, you know, just hold the high quality for the brand and for what we're trying to accomplish. You know, tonight we're talking about being true blue and, you know, how people are turning reality into fiction or fictionalizing their reality. How do you feel about that, like the different personas and things that, that people throw up when they're not really, you know, about, as they say, that life, you know what I'm saying, when, you know, you meet all types of dudes from, you know, where you are, and you like, man, please. You can see folks coming a million miles away no matter how slick their tongue is, you know what I'm saying? So how do you feel about that?
Right. Give me one second.
We sure will. Go in the green room. They'll hook you up. But go ahead, Aaron. How you feeling about what Godfather just said?
No, I mean, it's like he said, it's an opportunity. Facebook presented an opportunity for him to get his work out there and start reaching people. The West Coast definitely got talent. It's just like in the early days with the music, when, you know, you couldn't really get no connects. If it was happening right here, then you had to be reaching out over here to make it happen, unless you were doing it independently. And, you know, that was only really like presenting itself in a small perimeter. So, you know, it definitely presented an opportunity for him, like he said, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, a lot of authors, they wouldn't even be, you know, as popular or as, you know, as sought after if they didn't have, you know, the social media. You know, you have a lot of authors who are not really personable. Like, they're not out there, you know, meeting the people. Like, they don't have that type of personality. They don't want to do that. So this gives them a perfect opportunity to let their readers interact with them, get to know them. And, you know, reach people that you would not be able to reach, you know, going from door to door or store to store, so to speak. So, yeah, it does do a lot. Did he come back in or is he still out?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Sorry about that. And I, you know, circumstances. But, the part that you asked me is how do I feel about people taking our reality and turning it into fiction? I heard you use the example of Freeway Rick, you know what I mean? And here's the thing. I only have a problem with it when, in fact, like I had a situation, for instance, where I interacted with a particular author, and it was like the author looked down at me because of where I was and my circumstances. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, you write books about the life that I live. I'm one of them cats who actually did the shit that you write about. How dare you look down your nose at me, right? And when you try to pop it off with my life. But at the same time, it's like my only problem with that is this. Where do you get the rawest truth? When it comes to that kind of life, man, you get the rawest truth from people who actually lived it. And that's why I give so much props to DC Book Diva. I mean, she didn't look at the fact that, hey, this guy's going to be hard to market, or, hey, this is going to be more of a struggle. She said, hey, this is a real story. You know, these cats is writing real books. They're taking the time. We're giving it our heart, our passion. I mean, some of us is writing to try to come up with attorney's fees. Some of us is writing to try and put a soup on our shelves. You know what I mean? We're not trying to buy beans. You know, we're not trying to just bling and floss. But then you get these cats who, you know, they're walking to different opportunities, and they got the nerve, the audacity, to look down their nose at a motherfucker like me. I mean, it's like, really? How dare you? Do you not know? You know, this ain't a game. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I don't knock them for capitalizing off that energy. But now look at it like this. It's sort of like when Al Sadiq made a mention of it. When he talked about the detail that you put into a story. You only a cat that went been in a trap house. A cat that's actually robbed a bank. Or a cat, you know, can actually capture what that emotion feels like. What that, you know, that moment is. And so I don't care how much TV you watch. I don't care how much you close your eyes and visualize it. Right? If you ain't never actually done it, there's going to be certain details that you miss. There's little things. It's never the big things. See, when you walk into a crack house, for instance, I'm not sure about the fact that she was sitting over in the corner smoking the white cloud, which took her into another horizon. That's the easy part. Mm-hmm. Talk about the crumpled pack of cigarettes with the $20 rock in the side, and she's searching the whole house looking for it. She's digging up the carpet and smoking stucco all the time. The $10 rock is still stuck inside of her pack of cigarettes, or her crumpled Newport pack, or, you know, things that only those who have been there can actually understand. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my only point, like I said, again, I go back to the fact, give credit to where it comes from. You know, the same thing with the Rick Ross situation. I mean, come on, how are you going to steal this man's identity? I mean, come on, stand up, get it real. I mean, just say what it was. You took something and you used it to market yourself, all right, and give credit to where it comes from. That's all.
Right, exactly. I agree. I definitely agree with that. That is the truth. And you do have to pay homage, you know, to those that come before you. And I think this generation is a very disrespectful generation at times, especially with paying homage to those that came before them. You see it all the time in the music industry. Like, they'll get up there and accept their awards knowing good and well they done sampled the Ohio Players. You know what I'm saying? They done sampled good music, and they don't even get up there and say shout out to the Ohio Players, when people who old school be listening like, that's the Ohio Players, and you they ain't even say nothing. When Beyonce did Etta James' song, a lot of people had no idea that song belonged to Etta James until Etta stepped out and said something. You know what I'm saying? You had all the young people like, oh, Beyonce did that, you know, but it was no real recognition and homage paid to the woman who was singing when you couldn't even walk in the front door of a hotel. You had to use the bathroom and the cup, as Diana Ross would say, on the tour bus while everybody else went inside and ate. You know, but you'll sample this person's music who darn near gave their life for the craft. And I think that is disrespectful, and you got to be able to, regardless of how it comes to you, show respect. Show respect for your elders, and show respect for your elders in the game.
Here's my thing, right? Our journey is never solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, the old saying goes, you know, success is every man's baby while failure is just an orphan. You know, those that succeed, they're quick to pat themselves on the back and tell you all that they did to help themselves to make it, right? But our journeys are never solo. There's doors that open. There's people that act as, you know, the go-between. There's situations that are created which allow us to walk into the past. You know, I just did an article, for instance, for our blog, Straight Taster, when I say, do the women run this, right? And I make the example that even the authors or publishers that have done good, that have, you know, especially the incarcerated ones, they've all had a woman that was there to help carry that ball, to do the administrative work. She may be, you know, and I think we can all relate to a particular company, she may be more of the shadow figure. But the truth of the matter is, without her, it wouldn't have been possible. You know, it takes that team effort. And like I say, it's about giving homage, giving praise to the opportunities which are created on our journey. And, you know, and I'll pause for a second here, because I want to recognize one of my G homies, you know, Raymond OG Chuck Washington. You know, it's like when I came in and started pushing my book True Blue, this dude didn't know me from that. He just started out pushing some crib shit that was popular, and he instantly took it and promoted it to the homies. And like, look, this is the homie. He got a positive message, and we gonna listen. You feel? What is that happening? But see, again, it goes. See, this is a classic G. This is the kind of OG I grew up under. They would sit around, they would gather us around. They always had a bunch of big old photo albums. They would tell us these stories, and they would, you know, tell their little jokes, and we would laugh. And this is the way that we bonded. You feel what I'm saying? I mean, this dude is taking this classic thing and taking it across the nation. In some parts, he's got it even in Africa, you know what I mean, where it's being recognized. I can't do nothing but salute that. So I have to stop and give that praise. And I always mention Monster Code. Always. Because regardless of what, that's the cat who first gave me any idea that people wanted to hear our stories. You know, that dude opened doors. You know, he doesn't necessarily get the respect that he deserves, but, you know, we hear the names like Kerry Woods, you know. We hear the same names. I don't want to nick him, but we hear the same names over and over and over. Like, these people created this. You know, that's not where it started. It just became the popular name brand. And it's sort of like Aaron said earlier, you know, where you got dudes who have this charisma, or they might be handsome, or they got a gift of gab, or they got swag. You know, that's what the urban game has turned into now. It's Facebook profiles, like who's the most popular guy at high school. It's not just the best writing anymore. You can have garbage writing, but if you got a good show for game, you're going to sell more items. That's just the way it's working, right? It disrespects the entire culture. I would personally like to see it fall back to what it's supposed to be, because let's be honest, those casters coming in here with all this charisma and swag, they don't care. Yeah, they make a couple thousand here and there, and they run off. It was a big come up. It was like running into a liquor store. They robbed the house, and everybody's little fans jumped on board. You know, they spent either 99 cents. Oh, yeah, girl, we can get mine. You know, just so they could be part of the equation, right? But now here, this dude is going to run off with his little bag of loot. But in the meantime, he's cheapened the entire industry, our entire culture. I mean, how many of us can really say we're living off the proceeds of what we're giving? I mean, I know me, I give hours and hours every day to this thing. But can I really say I'm living off of it? I mean, how many of us are really living off of it nowadays?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've watered down our culture, so I would love to see it go away. Yeah, it's created opportunity. You know, anybody and their mama can put a book out. But that's just the problem. There's no longer any screening, you know, even in the days when we had agents or even when you needed a publisher. There was somebody to screen the garbage from getting out there. Nowadays, you got these nickel and dime hustling publishers. They don't care what it is. Okay, yeah, all right, put it out. You're supposed to be screening the material to make sure the garbage doesn't get out here. You may put a hot cover on it. It's still going to sell. Somebody gets 99 cents for it. You know, it's cheapening the entire culture. I mean, I got in this game to be a writer. I love what I do. Put my heart into it. I ain't trying to make $34 for the month. Come on, man. Where does that work?
Yes, that's right. And you said it. I mean, because if sometimes, you know, it doesn't pay off for all the hours and stuff you do. And, you know, when people jump up and say they this, they that, da, 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 if it was all that great the way you're saying it is, you wouldn't have to advertise at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, other people would be doing that work for you. Like, you would be somewhere. Like, you had the big people in mainstream. Like, you hardly even know who they are or what they look like. You know, but their work is so phenomenal that it speaks for itself. You know, the people are doing it. We have to work hard to make sure that we stay in view, that we stay relevant. You know what I'm saying? And as long as you have to work hard.
I'm not willing to give you that their work is so phenomenal. Let's be honest. A lot of them walked into a given situation at a time when Urban Books was a wide open door. Anybody who basically was able to put a book together and had a given situation walked into a beautiful circumstance. Let's just call it what it was. You know, I'm one who thinks that some people get way too much credit just because they've been around, just because they put out so many books. When I look at their material, the quality of what they put out, I'm sorry, I'm not going to just salute you. I will salute you for what you deserve. You're a good businessman. You've had some for a woman. You've had some longevity. You've gained the popularity. The market is different now. See, back then, you might have had 50, let's say 100 people writing. It was easy to focus the top. Now, we got what? 5,000, 10,000, you know, it's hard to get seen. So the circumstances are just different. The fact that they walk into a certain circumstance don't mean that they're working all that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to just take my hat off like that.
I agree.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I just feel like you got to have that material. Like, you got to give to people real writing. Like, because if you don't, you ain't expanding the craft or literature at all. Like, you people be scared to write. In my opinion, that's why they be staying in the same place a lot. Like, they be scared to expand their horizons. Like, all people ain't gonna understand this, or just really, some people just really can't write. Honestly,
and that's the truth. I can tell you two sides of that. You get like, when Master Cody first wrote his book, a nonfiction autobiography, I mean, it was a lot of hell behind that. How dare you talk about this? How dare you talk about that? When I wrote my life story the first time, when I first put that book out, there was meetings in the hood about that. How did you mention the real names, man? Wookie, wookie. You feel me? There was, nowadays, you can write about anything and nobody cares. You know, the monkey stole the banana and gave it to the elephant and everybody, hey, that's a good book. Off the chain. You're awesome. You know, that's what we do nowadays. But the point is, like you said, you have to be an author. Used to be about taking risks. about saying some things and sharing some things where no man had gone before. But it enlightens you. When you read those books, it was like, man, it really took you into a world that you had never before experienced. And, you know, another challenge that I have personally taken upon myself is I like everything. You know, I got a self-help advisory guide out. I got the autobiography out. I got poetry out. You know, I believe that a real writer challenges himself. It's not just the easy, okay, this is what sales, I'm going to copy what he did, or that's a cool format. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a hustler. I mean, I ain't mad at it. But at the same time, I'm not going to take my hat off and salute that. No.
Yeah. You're right. You have some very valid points, and we're so happy that we have you in the clubhouse this evening, dropping this knowledge, dropping this wisdom, you know, on the industry, period. And we are in the clubhouse right in Royalty Radio. We have Aaron Bebo, the fabulous Miss Tony and Miss Leisha. I am Nene Capri. We have the Godfather, Wesley, all the way from the West Coast. He's weighing in on this hot topic that we're talking about tonight, being true blue and turning reality into fiction, or how we also put it, you know, fictionalizing your reality for whatever, you know, the reason is within your art, within your craft. You know, people personally, you know, you can go up and down timelines and news feeds and see 100,000 people with, you know, a different persona of how they see themselves or how they want the world to see them. Like my brother always tell me, he was like, man, when this stuff first started peaking, and he's a computer engineer, and he was like, man, this stuff is going to be crazy because with this social media, people get to be who they aren't in real life. He said, and when you have an opportunity for that, you will get all types of scams and lies and, you know, all things like that. He was like, people, you know, bark up when they wouldn't really bark up. And I can see it because I've ran into different people at signings and stuff, and their character online, and then you meet them in person, and you're like, oh, they just the sweetest little pie, but, you know, they talking with people, and they talking so crazy online, and then I even have said it to certain people I've met, like readers and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe that's you on the thing. It's like, yes, it's me, Miss Nene, and they so short and little and tiny, but they be barking on there, but you meet them in real life, and they ain't about that life, you know what I'm saying, so... Yeah, you got to be careful with the social media, what you use it for. What do you think, Godfather?
Yeah, I think you captured that exactly. I mean, you know, here, it's just like we have the same thing we call it in prison. We call it a cell soldier, right? You know, dude get behind the wall, and he's behind the door. You can't get to him, and he turns his game up. All of a sudden, he's in animal mode. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, dude, tone that down. You know what I mean? For me, I am who I say I am. Here's the thing. With a name like Godfather, right, I can't carry myself in certain ways, I'd be a laughing stock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I use the words on the cover of my book, you know. I use integrity, dedication, honor. I live by that, you know. I was going to mention the fact that, okay, like recently, I had this little fallout with Quan.
Mm-hmm.
Some know about it, some don't. I know I keep getting inboxes about it, right?
Okay.
So it's like this. I can say this much here, right? I never really was mad at the man. Because, again, I go back to what I said in the beginning. He's one of the few cats who actually reached out to this West Coast. You know, back then, I seen that dude a messaging inbox. It might take him a day or so, but he always responded. You know, we fell into some differences. But, again, I can say right now, I extend an olive branch to the brother for his movement. Because I'm not with the citizens, and that's what you go through. These personas that people put on Facebook. Man, it's easy to sit here and rebel rouse and, you know, talk crazy. That's not who I am. You know,
right.
I push unity. I believe in unity. I believe in each one reaching one. And I believe in us working as a team. You do. You get a lot of people in the safety of their own home, you know, they turn into somebody who they truly not. It ain't their heart. You know, you see it all the time. I mean, it's like, for instance, I can think of situations where, you know, things have happened on the prison yard. Riots jump off, guns going off, knives are getting swung. Those cats who been barking the most, 9 to 10, they're not on the front line. Those are not the ones in the end. They end up somewhere else, right? So, yeah, it's definitely a problem.
Or they're in the background. Sometimes you get those who do all that, and they're in the background like a puppet master, like moving pieces around, like nobody knows that it's them, but they are definitely one behind all the shenanigans. and you get those type too. You get the loud mouth that everybody can see, and then you get that loud mouth that everybody can see who is actually manipulating and maneuvering and doing, you know, some underhanded, grimy type stuff, which definitely is not honorable or respectable. You know what I'm saying?
At all. It's just like Big Brother, right? You watch the show Big Brother, you get this little mouse who runs around. They love to see the show. Here they're whispering something. They're in your ear. They're trying to keep the shit going. They're entertaining to them, or because they're trying to win a point with the head of house, right? So come on, man. Exactly. You know, and all of that would not be happening if you were in a motherfucker's face. You know what I mean? It'd be a whole different game. So, yeah, definitely. You get a lot of that on Facebook. Facebook is what I see. Go ahead.
Father, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, we've had different people on our show and with different type of personalities. And one of the questions we ask is, do you think in literature that it would get to the point of, you know, an author having to lose their life or, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of folks is family, you know, family guys. Even if you did have a street life, like nobody's in the street right now like that. You know what I'm saying? Like you obviously are writing and you have a family and, you know, people are trying to improve themselves. Like why would you still want to pretend or showcase that you in that world and then talk smack to somebody and then somebody go in your mouth at a book signing or hurt you or hurt your family? Because, you know, sometimes we travel with our families, you know what I'm saying? So you sitting up here saying stuff, talking all ratchet to somebody who really might be crazy, because people are crazy. You just don't know. You know what I'm saying? You might say something and they're like, oh, okay, all right, okay, so I got you on the list. You know what I'm saying? Then now you got to be fighting for your life or lose your life over books. How you feel about that?
Well, here, I will say this, right? It's the same thing I said about the cell soldier. You can say whatever you want to say when it's safe. Be careful, though. Be careful, because some don't forget, right? And it's just like you said. See, those who are really about this life, you know what I mean, understand this. You know, it's like, man, I've been like for 25 years. I've dealt with every kind of monkey you can imagine. You know, those who think they turned up, those who are turned up. You feel what I'm saying? It's still... I survived. That says something. You know, I'm not going home at night barking on my woman, eating a bucket of chicken like I'm the king of the house. You feel what I'm saying? There's something that comes with being able to conduct yourself and carry yourself amongst what society has deemed the worship is first and still survive with honor and integrity. There's something to be said about that. So, be careful who you speak to and how you speak to who you speak to. Everybody is not the same. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Some people, just like when you go to work, you're not going to bark at, you know, one dude the way you may bark at another dude. Barking may be safe in some circumstances and may be totally, you know, get yourself in a situation that you're not ready to get it off into. So, yes, be careful.
Definitely.
About that one.
Definitely. Definitely. You definitely do. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not what we do is not about that. We write about it, like you said, but we haven't, a large majority of people have not lived the life that we write about. You know what I'm saying? Like some of us have had a little bit of street life, you know, a little bit of street cred. Some of us have did a little time, you know, not me, but, you know, a whole bunch of my colleagues. But you know what I'm saying? But it's not at the amount, you know what I'm saying, of what we write about. You know what I'm saying? So we already know that that's not your character. That's what you write about, and that's what you do. You entertain. You know what I'm saying? You never want to watch a movie, and when you get finished watching the movie, like, the directors and everybody come from the back like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they all crunk because they done helped direct a great film. You know what I'm saying? You hardly even know that they had any involvement.
Right. Now you watch Bruce Lee, now you know Kung Fu. Yeah, that ain't how it worked, dog.
Exactly.
That ain't how it worked, dog. You can turn your gangster all the way down. Put your gangster autopilot for a real nigga call on it. Well, here's the thing. It's sort of like, remember the other day when we did that writing piece over here in Alpha Deep's room, right?
Oh, that was powerful. Go ahead.
Well, I love that. And then, you know, I came in behind you, and everybody was like, it's getting too long. We need to end this. And why? And so if you think about it, right, what I did, if you read the first part of my autobiography, it has that exact scene where I make that decision to go ahead and have this shootout and whatever. So what I did was I took reality and turned it into fiction. I brought her to that moment when she reaches for that gun and the rain was coming down and she decides to go, and the sirens are coming. See, So in that way, blended a bit of my truth into it. But like you say, that's a story.
Mm-hmm.
But by having lived it, it's easier for me to capture the essence. And with that, when she gets on the phone and, like, it's all over, right? So, yeah. But, yeah, that was a beautiful situation. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, shout out to Al Sadiq Banks. That was phenomenal. You know, everybody came on the spur of the moment, and everybody was writing their little piece, and it felt so good. It felt so natural. And I think that that is what we all fell in love with our pen for, you know, writing those original stories in the moments when the ideas came to us. It wasn't for the gimmicks. It wasn't for any of that. It was for the love of the word, the love of writing, the love of creating, you know, and I think that we have to get back to that in order to give people pure literature. You know what I'm saying?
I got to get up to Aaron because Aaron called me. Aaron was the one who tagged me, so I got to get up to Aaron. Got to stop for a second.
Mr. Bebo.
Yeah, you called me in there. Well, you tagged me to the post.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah. You know, I remember you came on the show, you know what I mean, and I knew you would want to be a part of something like that.
Right.
That was a cool piece.
Yes, well, we got hands raised. Some people might want to talk to the Godfather. We do not want the readers to leave out of here without being able to hear his voice and talk to him or weigh in on this hot topic. We're talking about True Blue, turning reality and the fiction. This is Writing Royalty Radio on a Thursday night. We have Aaron Bebo, we have Leisha and Miss Tony, and we also have the Godfather, Wesley, all the way from the West Coast. Bring in a caller, Aaron, please.
Okay, let me grab this 414-306. Good evening. You have with the Writing Royalty crew. Who am I speaking with?
Man, you don't know my number by now.
Oh, my God.
You know how many numbers we look at a week? We love you. We're going to have to put you on the pin board so that...
What's going on, storyteller?
I've been here from the beginning for this show. I couldn't miss the Godfather. What's up, Godfather?
Storyteller?
What's going on,
brother? With it, brother?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. I saw they was having you tonight, and I said, man, I got to be here from the beginning.
Right. I appreciate that.
And it's a very good show.
Thank you. How you feel, storyteller? Weigh in a little bit on, you know, what's going on with this reality turning to fiction or people fictionalizing their reality. You know, are people being true blue or is it something else going on right now? How you feel?
I think that the veterans, and not even just veterans, but the real writers are going to have to understand that we just don't have to share platform with those people no matter what, because it became so easy for people to write a book and to publish a book. So, I mean, it's just like any other circle you get a whole bunch of one kind of people into. It's going to revolve in a certain way that's not positive. And the people who are positive, we just don't have to weed through it. We know what we do. You know what your pen do. Aaron know what his pen do. Godfather know what his pen do. The readers who read that know. But some of those same readers will go out and buy some garbage. And that's just what they're going to do. So we have to take the bitter with the sweet and just keep working hard and doing our thing. Because I know for a fact that if we weed out 5,000 bad writers, bad authors, bad wannabe gangsters, tomorrow will be 5,000 more. Because it's open for them to get there. It's so easy. And they think dollar signs, I mean, I was having a conversation with a guy in Memphis yesterday, and we were talking about the mortgage game. I mean, when everybody had these 560 credit scores, now everybody can buy a house and walk away with $10,000 at closing. Unheard of, but everybody did it. Now we have a bunch of boarded up houses all over the United States. That's just, I mean, wherever there's a way for people to try to fit in, they're going to try to fit in. So I always look at it like, go ahead.
I hear what you're saying, but I want to say this. I also see the side that if, you know, the people who are at the forefront are doing better things as an example, then people follow. Case in point, if it's your first day at school and you've never been to school before. You're excited. You got on your best clothes. When you get there, you don't really understand because you're chatting. You ain't supposed to be talking. You know what I'm saying? You start to watch the signs and the clues around you. You know what I'm saying? You look at the teacher. She raises her hand, one hand. You look around the other students, and nobody's saying nothing. Then you learn that when the teacher puts her one hand up, everybody's supposed to shut up. Now, you know you're supposed to eat lunch, but you don't know what time. So now they're ringing bells. So you see everybody moving out. So now you're like, okay, so when the bell is ring, that's when I go to the lunchroom. I think that it's the same thing in our genre. I think that the people who are most influential and the people who are able to reach readers more have to set that precedence and set that tone of professionalism and a high class and standard for the brand and the craft that we do, and the rest will follow. People weren't doing that all the time. You know what I'm saying? You're right. You can cut off a million heads and a million will grow back. But I think we have to do better at setting certain examples and setting a precedent so that we don't have that. They don't know that that can't happen when I come over there with my literature or whatever the case may be. Go ahead.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on what should be done, what is kind of being done, but it still, at the end of the day, doesn't matter. Even in every school you go to, even all those rules, there is still going to be one or two children that don't follow.
But not only that.
They just
won't.
Wait,
go ahead, Godfather.
Not only that, right? See, the problem is the same people who can make the change are the people who are benefiting from it. They dig it. It's just like at school. You use a good example, right? If I'm Mr. Popper at school and everybody is drumming to my drum and I need to do it, what do I care about what's happening to the rest of the school? That's your business, right? And so what has happened, let's be honest, those people who you feel the most influential, who have these names, they have circumstances which benefit them. They stay in their lane. They have their own little cliques and clans, their own little worlds, and they they don't care about the rest of us who are trying to be discovered or trying to keep the quality of the game intact. To them, hey, when you get on their level, then you talk to them. Period. That's the problem. They look down their nose at us. It's too many writers nowadays for the material, the quality itself to go to the top. It's sort of like Storyteller said. The hustlers are here. It's just like when the crack cocaine came. The hustlers are here. Everybody's got a sack. Everybody's on the corner. Yeah, we know that a bunch of it just jumped, just like we know a bunch of crackheads are going up in prison. The crackheads are going up in prison. But there was few who make it will be the ones who beat the drum around it. And so they're going to continue to come, just like people keep continuing to sell crack. Why? When most of us in the stress in prison are dead. Nobody hears that part. They see that one or two who puts this on Facebook and talks about all the successes. Oh, I'm going to be like him. And so now you got everybody trying to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a publisher. Everybody's got all these grand ideas when, again, there's no structure. There's no one screening. And so, yes, the ones, like I said, the ones who are sitting high on the hog, they're sitting there picking their teeth. They don't care at all.
But
they
it's way bigger than what we see anyway. We're not the ones making the billions of dollars off these books being placed on the site where people can go get them. So it's way bigger than us anyway. No matter what we do, the big companies are making it possible for these people to still come in there and hustle the way they hustle. You know, even James Patterson spoke on this about a month ago, how he despised what Amazon's doing to the literary world. There was an article where he speaks up on it because they're making it possible.
Amazon eats the lion's share, right? But here's this, right? I can take you back to another little situation that I had on a post. And so there were these girls. They were clowning about this guy who had put out a book for 99 cents. Now, he turned around on his next book. I think he charged $6.99 or $8.99. And so these two girls were having this dialogue, like, how dare he? Who do you think he is? How can he do this? That don't make no sense. You know, how do you want to go from 99 cents to 8.99? Well, we all know, right? 8.99 is the magic mark where you actually begin to eat a decent meal. Everything else don't really matter, right? We're just begging for a couple of dollars to try and survive. But let's be honest. We just don't want to pay the $8.99 unless you already have this huge name. But how do you get to that point? Nowadays, with this industry. Because let's be honest, come into the game nowadays, if you pass your book past 299, you pretty much ain't going to get an offer. You feel what I'm saying? So what happens at some point, you want to try and jump to 899. When does that happen? Right? When do you have to create, like somebody said earlier, Facebook has become, e-books have made this thing a social game. So it's not even about, well, my writing deserves $8.99. No. Most real writers are introverts. We spend a lot of time to ourselves, by ourselves, in our own little private thoughts. We're not very socially inactive. You know what I mean? We're real private people. Well, this whole social media thing has forced us to come out and make that connection. So what happens if you're not personable? What happens if you're not able to go out there and click this book? Do you ever get to $8.99? You know what I mean? So, yeah, Amazon is eating high off the hog, and they don't care how it works out. But what we really need is for readers to understand. We don't really talk about it too much. It's kind of like one of those hush-hush things. Nobody wants to, we're creating waves. We all want to give praises to the certain, four or five names that always come up. We praise them like they're gods. I'm not that guy. I'm not a yes man. You feel what I'm saying? The truth of the matter is, we need readers to judge the quality of the material that's being put out and allow some of these new authors like myself who have quality deserving of $8.99 to get the $8.99, not just because this guy has a name or this girl has a name. You know what I mean? That's where it has to start. Because a lot of the readers, none of us are nothing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
But we're pretty much marginalized by even our readers. We're told not to fuck hard too much or they're not going to support us. So it forces you. You're afraid to fight your book when you think you may deserve it. So what do? The readers themselves have cheapened us by this whole 99-cent book. But now we're having to compete with the low guy on the totem pole. I don't care how good your book is. I don't care if your book is longer. I don't care if it's better. Who are you? You're selling you now.
Yeah, I definitely, that's what I'm saying with the fake personas coming in. That's what's becoming the market right now. Like, you gotta be looked at as somebody who's real or potentially some street background type dude or whatever. And it, to me, it's corny. Like, I don't believe the two go hand in hand at all.
Well, for real,
you a writer.
I'm as real as they come. They ain't paying me no $8.99. They laugh at me. I can't get $5.99. So let's keep it real. It's not just that. It's not like, we got Dutch on our squad. Come on, man. This one of the dudes who helped to lay the foundation for just about everybody that's in the game. Dude's comedy,
yeah,
he's fat every day.
It's definitely not just that.
But at the same time, he's not able to jump on as often as many and create this huge following and have his own clubhouse of fanatics or fans, whatever you want to call them, followers, supporters, whoever you want to be. And so without that big clubhouse, it's hard to demand the price that you deserve. That man should get $12.99. Come on, man.
I would agree with that. I definitely agree with you. Coming from under, Wahida Clark's camp, and her stuff stay consistent. Like, if you get a sale on Wahida, it's Christmas or something. It's a special holiday when she might throw a box set together. It's a limited time offer. You know what I'm saying? Nothing, never goes down. And I'm blessed that I was able to, walk into a publishing house that has that type of history, because, people don't mind paying a Kindle, $9.99 for my series. You know what I'm saying? People will go buy the whole series, 1, 2, and 3. That's $30 right there.
Yeah,
so
you got a name. That's keep it clear. You got a name, Nene. You got a name in this game. You know what I mean?
I mean, I do all right for myself. I had to work very hard.
And you've made it. She opened the door for you right at that time when things began to change. Right, mm-hmm. And so you were able to squeeze your name out there before the doors closed. Right now, what's happened is Facebook has made the ebook has made the game so crowded that whereas it may have been 400 or 500 people coming out, and you had to make it to the top. Well, now it's each year you got a new 1,000, 2,000, 20,000 people, and so without the right opportunities, you hardly even get to. So it's like you go to introduce yourself now. You say you're an author. It's like, yeah, okay, and next. Right. It's not even impressive anymore. I mean, it was
It's like a business card, like Wahida be saying. Like, a book is like the new business card. It's like people, hey, how you doing? Here you go. You know,
everybody's
it's like,
got them. I remember.
Yeah, everybody got one.
See,
yeah,
now,
you know
what's
the problem?
Go ahead.
No, I was
the problem is. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Knock it down, bro. I got you.
The problem is, honestly, is like you said, those conversations that nobody don't want to have. Like, we can't, honestly, I'm going to just keep it real in my view. We can't really complain about the market if we want to whisper about what should be going on for real. Like, if people ain't going to just stand up and be like, yo, listen, readers, knock it off. I'm placing the same money into this book as I was when it was paperbacks to bring it to the market. I still got to get it edited. I still got to get this graphic artist. I still got to get it formatted. It's the same book, and we stand on a standard, and we create a standard. That's why I said a united front. Like, if you create a standard, that's how you get market control. That's how all these other businessmen and other races control their market. They keep market control. There's a standard. If you don't have no standard set, and you let the readers or you let your market, your consumer, dictate your market, you're out of business.
We have a group that's designed to do just that. It's called Right to Earn a Living, where we are looking to try and put a united front together, because you're right. Any business has been controlled by the united front, right? And we had to create a universal standard, the same as Amazon does with its e-books. They won't let you, I mean, it's audiobooks. They won't let you price it below a certain margin. So what we need to do as authors to be able to say, hey, if I got a 30,000-word book, then it has to be priced at this. No, nothing below that, right? We set these prices so that we have a universal pricing. The problem nowadays is I can sit here and write up an 80,000-word book, right? And now, because I'm not a name brand, I mean, the one I got right now might be 150,000. But because I'm not a name brand, nobody knows me. I got to sell mine at 99, 199, or 299.
You do, but you really don't. You know what I mean? Like, that's the standard. Like, you got to keep a standard, especially, like, if you come in from DC Publications or whatever, like, you got to, that you have to maintain that standard. Like, if the standard is set over there, that face has to remain the same. If you allow the market to bend, you lost your market control.
My whole point is we need to, the readers, to say, okay, look, for instance, I put out that self-help book. I'm going to tell you, man, that's my baby. I put out everything she should know. It took me 6 years to write that book. Every woman that has ever seen that book, they love that book. I've taken it to school, had it sent into schools. Teachers have used it as a teaching guide. I got 60-year-old women raving about that book. I got people that carry this, women that carry this book around. It's a Bible. They highlight different sections. They love this book. But when I first put it out there as an e-book, I did price it $8.99. Based on all the research, based on all you know, it's a resource guide. It's jam-packed information. Just the credit section alone, financial, teaches you how to, you know, it's financial fiction here that they sell for thousands of dollars. I teach you here in this book. There's so much in this book, and it's so much better than anything that, you know, everybody talks about, you know, Steve Harvey's book or, TJ, man, it's that plus. But the point of the matter is, first question comes out is, $8.99, man, who are you? I sold one book. Took me a month to sell one book. So you tell me, like, I still got to pay for the editing. I still got to pay for the cover. I still got to pay for the printing. I still got to pay for people don't see that. Now, had I been one of the main brands, they said, oh, look, somebody ordered 9-15 books for self-help. Oh, boy, I know this is going to be powerful. Well, once again,
we got to keep it real right there, too. Once again, right, even for the person that we calling a name brand or these name brand people, they was nobody yesterday, too. So they had to do things to get to being that name brand. We have been doing
on
the
Facebook,
we,
come on
we
Facebook
have not,
nah,
but I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Your market ain't even, the market ain't even on Facebook.
True.
Like, if you're looking
saying,
to sell books
that
on
name
Facebook,
right now off of Facebook is a different ballgame.
If anybody looking to sell books off Facebook, in my opinion, Like, if that's what they're looking to as their market source, and they're wondering why they're failing, then they're going to continue to fail, y'all. Like, come on, that's not a place where the readers are plentiful. Like, you got to go where the readers are. Facebook is Facebook. Facebook was a social networking site before people even started promoting books on there.
When you're marketing the paperback, that's a whole different game, right? But what I'm saying is, for new authors come in, when you talk about these names, the name brand people that are out there today who have really made it, right, they came before the Facebook thing. They kind of submitted outside that position before the Facebook thing. So now that they're on Facebook, it's like, oh, you get to talk to more people immediately and they can respond. You know, it's this huge, big reveal. So for them, their journey has been different as opposed to a guy or girl trying to find a way from a 99-cent book to being able to earn the following and respect, sell an 8.99 book. You know, the readers just aren't buying it like that. So like you said, the market has to be in paperbacks. Paperbacks are still selling. Why did we abandon a market that was working? Yes, it made us more accessible to readers and whatnot, and Facebook became this big old fun social experience, but it's not feeding our families. Mm-hmm. It's robbing us. We're spending way too much money to get some material out there, and then we're forced to sell at a certain price. I'm sitting here sick, man. I don't even get me going to the numbers. All the money I spent as opposed to what I'm able to demand, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the game longer than any of them. I've been like for 25 years, but I didn't have the opportunity. I don't have the name. So
we
look at my $8.99 and $8.99 ad.
We got to try to find other avenues to promote, is my opinion. Like Facebook, there's other readers out there.
Aaron, case in point, we still have people that will come, and I always have to talk about Wahida because that's my foundation. You know, they'll come to the book signings and be like, I can't wait till she get out. And we'll be like, she is out. They're like, no, she's not. And I'm like, she's under a rock. But you know what? There are readers that have been loyal to her from the beginning. They're not on social media because I'm like, anybody on social media, seen the interview, she on television. I'm like, where are they at? But they are loyal to the work. They're not in her business like that. They're not trying to follow her around and see what she's doing next in those aspects. They loyal to the work. So that foundation that she set up, which was, you know, in the prison system and all, you know, like word of mouth and all of that, like that stuff still has to be in play.
The Payback movie still has its own following and support. Facebook is a whole other world, right? That's, like you said, it's an isolated little cesspool which all of us are trying to sell books to. And let's be real, the readers ain't buying books like that. You got 2,000 advertisements coming a day, and the reader might sell 5 books a day.
That's my point,
right.
You can't be looking to Facebook. You can't be looking.
And let me tell you
something. I know authors right now, right, anybody that you think is a name brand, anybody that you could name in urban fiction that you think is a name brand, other than the people that we know have, you know, really exceeded and made it to that placement in the eyes of everybody. Like, there's just no doubt about it. Like, that, if anybody you name, like, it's people that came out a couple of years ago just off e-books, because you keep saying paperback. I just want to show you how the e-book market works as well. Just off e-books, people was killing them. What about the little broad, the Amanda Hoskins broad? Kill e-books. There was a husband and wife team. I just read about them. They started writing books from home in their spare time over the summer, and they started generating like $25,000 a month off a little series that they had going. Husband and wife. It's that we're not reaching out to the readers. We're sitting on Facebook playing. There are hundreds of thousands of readers out there that read e-books. But if you on Facebook, you ain't going to know where to go to place your material at. Because guess what? Real readers don't want to talk to you all day. They want to get your book and go. So that's why you have to be finding those places where you can place your material, where people are going to come over there. Consumers are understanding the market. So when they come over there, they ain't throwing their hand up to their mouth when they see $8.99. They're like, $8.99? Oh, okay, what's this about? Let me read some. Oh, this is cool. Boom, and they're clicking it. Ain't no hassle back and forth. People ain't threatening you. Like, yo, oh, when this coming out? It better be 99 cents. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't going through that in these markets. Like, we have to really be moving away from Facebook, because if you stay on Facebook so much, it'll cloud your vision to the point that you'll think that there is no other market out there.
Exactly.
And Aaron, I agree.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Go ahead. Oh, I agree.
No, go ahead. Miss Tony has something to say. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I agree, but then at the same time, I kind of disagree. Facebook is a tool. You know what I'm saying? It's a tool whether you are just on there just keeping in contact with whomever, or it's a marketing tool if you are a business person, which an author would be a business person. So you're on here for business purposes. It might be some personal purposes, but it's still a marketing tool. This is not the only marketing tool you should use to get your stuff out there. The one thing I always say is your pen is what sells your books. It don't matter if you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If your pen is not blazing, your books will not sell. Your pen is what sells your books. However, I will say, I will say that I have found, depending on the publisher, sometimes, like Aaron was saying, they dictate the cost of the books. Because you have some books that are $12, $15, $13, $14, and when you get them, you wonder why they're so much. But then when you look at the publisher and everybody that that publisher has, you'll notice that everybody under that publisher, their books are $15 or they're $19. They're never under a certain amount of money.
Tax write-offs too.
Wait, hold on.
I need a minute. Be right back.
Okay, go ahead, Tony. Why he take a minute?
Okay, I just want to say that I'm fairly new to this Facebook thing, but I've always been a reader. So my source of new material has always come from a bookstore or a library, you know. And at the bookstore, I don't mind paying for whatever it is the author puts, whatever price the author puts on the book.
Right.
I'm buying it because it's something that I love to do, which is read, and it's also something that I love to do, which is support an author for all the work that they put into that book that I'm reading. You know, so
right.
Price has never been an issue for me, but I do, it's just that I love to read. So whatever an author puts, whatever price they put on the book is what I pay for it. You know, because I know a lot goes into writing a book, and I'm not taking that, and I'm not going to take that talent for granted.
Yes,
you know?
And the action that you're having with authors, you've been gaining even more of a respect because you've been learning some of the behind-the-scenes stuff when you talk to us and we in editing and we stressed out and, you know what I'm saying, we're trying to pick covers. So you also understand more so, like, wow, I really do need to make sure that I'm the author and I'm paying what they're asking, because I'm meeting authors. I'm interviewing authors. I have personal friends who are authors now, so I know firsthand the sacrifices. And that has to be a consensus, you know, throughout readers. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of readers don't even know. Like, they're on posts. They're weighing in. They have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Like, why is so-and-so doing this and that? And I don't come on your job asking you why you putting blue paper clips. The boss told you to put the blue paper clips, and that's what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever that may be. So that in a respect, you have to, you know, make sure that you're not bending to every little whim and jumping on your work and changing your work, doing this and doing that. Get back to the natural craft of writing, creating, and promoting. Like Aaron said, after the last period, something else has to happen. So you got to be having a marketing plan in place before you even finish the last period. Like, you can't sit and write a whole book and then say, okay, how am I going to market this guy? From the moment that you start writing it, you have to think, who am I writing for? Who am I talking to? Who am I going to market to, and how am I going to market to these people? And then you have to get the work in those people's hands. You can't say, woo, I'm done, period, end of the story. I gave my acknowledgments and shout-outs. Now let me see who I'm going to sell this book to, and how am I going to do it? Now you got a whole bunch of product, if you got paperback, or you got an e-book that's not moving because you did not sit down and do a proper marketing strategy. You know what I'm saying? And I have to go back, and I say this every show. Wahida made me Street Team, and I was doing work with her behind the scenes, and when I finally got on the team and went out with her, I had to travel with her for 1 year talking about my book. It was bookmarks, it was different things that she had. I had to pass them out at her event. I wasn't even the author yet, But she was teaching me and she was training me, and I was talking to people and I was marketing myself and I was going on websites and I was talking to readers and I was giving them little excerpts and what do you think about this? And they was like, man, and they started enjoying me just as a person and as an author before they even had my work. They were so looking forward to it that when it dropped, it was like, boom, because one whole year.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to cultivate themselves. They're not cultivating themselves as an author first. They're writing a book, and then they're saying, here you go, and everybody should read it. But they have no platform. They have nobody following them when the book drops. So now you get a couple of clicks. You don't make the money you want, and you're in debt because you done spent, but you did not market properly. Aaron?
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to say about a few things that Leisha said. Number one, I mm-hmm. feel like the now, your pen definitely sells your book, but I got to say this, like, because when we say things, we got to keep it all the way real. We got to be looking at the position of the market and the people that are in it with these opinions and all that. Honestly, the people now that are saying they're avid readers, I don't know right off the rip. Like 80% of the people that are, like, professing that aren't avid readers. How do I know? Because when I put up who is your favorite author, the names that I'm getting are not coming back to anybody that it
right.
should be if you are an avid reader. It's coming back to people that they can tag on Facebook to try to
Facebook
look cool.
Right.
Or really just only the people that they've read. And if you've only read those people, I'm sorry. You are not an avid reader. And in saying that, I want to say this. When certain people start judging whose pen is hot or not, we have to start judging the readers.
Oh.
Like, we really have to sit back and be like, yo, who's really comprehending this and who's not?
Right.
Because, like, I be seeing things that I've never seen in other genres of fiction. Like, if you read Sidney Sheldon, guess what? You might come in contact with about 60 different people within that book. But it's going to be uniform. There's not going to be nobody sitting back like, yo, this shit was crazy. There's too many people going, there's so many people in there. Because guess what? Life is happening.
Right.
It's a real book going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so now when I be looking at some of the stuff that be going, I'll be having to look at the read, like, who's reading? Like, oh, okay, fine. You know what I mean? So right now at this point, you almost have to be Kirkus reviewers for me to really believe you're an avid reader, because when I ask who's avid readers and I start seeing the names of some of the books that they talking about they read, I'm like, absolutely not. Like, you don't even qualify.
Well, you know, I made a little comment about a couple weeks ago on Treasure Blue's post. He asked the question, who would be the top 5 authors or 15 authors so far for this year, because he was looking to compile a list. And so by the time I get to the post, there was already like 115 comments or whatever, right? And so I made a little statement. You know, I know it rubbed people the wrong way, but I'm going to speak my mind. I'm not a yes man at all. And like I said on time, I said, you know, I really don't respect these polls because it becomes this big old hug fest. Everybody comes on there. You get mentioned, right? Somebody will say, Arthur Godfather. So when they mention me, now I got to mention every author I know. Well, then you mention Arthur Whoopi Woo, then you mention Arthur such and such. Oh, and thank you, Arthur such and such, for mentioning me. Your pen is blazing too, girl, even though you ain't even wrote a book yet. Right? But yeah, I know you're hot, you're coming.
For real,
so,
yo.
Then you want to mention your whole team, right? So then they come and they mention somebody else. And it's like, I
for real,
the man
yo.
Said the top 15 people. How are we into 110 posts? Really? But then when I say that, people look at me like I'm bitter. I'm not bitter because you didn't get selected. What I'm saying is I'm not going to read 110 comments to see who the hell y'all mentioned. It's ridiculous. Everybody wants to mention somebody like you said earlier. If they can't tag them on Facebook, then the name don't get mentioned, right?
For
because
real.
When you see those, and I'm going to say it again, I'm keep banging this drum because this boy can write. Arthur Dutch. Okay, he's not taggable on Facebook, but we all know that man's pen blazes. A lot of people still give Terry Woods the credit. They think that Terry Woods wrote the book, but no.
And he got a heart of gold. I would say that too. He's an official dude, and he got a heart of gold. I had some interactions with him, and he's he's real to me. You know what I'm saying? He's a good dude. I appreciate his refreshing attitude and personality about literature and, you know, how he deals with me. So he's definitely a good dude. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had to shout him out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's a good dude, but I'm just saying, read his work. I mean, come on, man. I mean, look, I told you I've been in this game 25 years. I'm not a new monkey to the swing. Mm-hmm. I know good work when I see it. Everybody talks about the Dutch shit. So Dutch, he wrote Dutch. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of critical of the Dutch shit. He had a couple of awesome shit in Dutch shit. But anybody that really wants to see that, with that man can do with anything, read that Dynasty series. Man, that boy is a beast. I'm talking about that boy. I would not write a gangster book with Dutch because I could not compete on his level. The way he thinks. I mean, I'll do my part if that's what he wants. But at the same time, I have to be honest with myself. A man can never truly know your strengths until he first learns his weaknesses. When that
right.
man put together a plot with that gangster shit, with that mafia shit, come on, man. You telling me he don't deserve $15.99? But then you go get this other cat down here because he got a name, you know, weak ass story. But he's on Facebook. He's got a following. He's got his own clubhouse. He's got, you know, whatever.
Wow.
So this is what I mean, again, you know what I mean, is that we need the readers to do us a favor, and we need to all bang this drum. Yeah, we all need to come together. We have a group, right, to earn a living. Authors are welcome. Publishers are welcome. Readers are welcome. Well, we want to try and establish some baseline prices. But more so than that, I petition the readers. Don't become so blinded by whatever clubhouse you hang with. I'm not knocking your clubhouse. Go be with your clubhouse. Hey, if that's what you with, that's what you with. But don't be so blinded by them to think they're the only ones with blazing pins. I mean, there's some of us out here who really want to try to make a life for ourselves, and we would appreciate your support. I'm talking to
yes, them. I agree. And I don't want to cut you off, Godfather, but we have the diva trying to get into the clubhouse. Erin, I need you to bring her in so that she can get on here and be able to support and you know, be on here with her author. She's at 202-556.
I got it.
Okay.
What's going on, Diva? You in? You live?
What's good, fam? How are you?
Hey,
and Miss Tony and Lisa
hey.
And Erin and Godfather. How are you?
Well, how are you? I know you got some jewels to drop.
Oh, it's a great show.
Straight
I'm just
no
listening
chaser.
In. You have Godfather dropping some jewels. I see you guys are having a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I just wanted to kind of add to it is, you know, the game really changed when we let our salespersons go. And when I say that, I'm speaking of the African-American bookstore. So
yes.
when we lost the salesperson that could tell the readers what to look for, what is hot, what is the quality, then everything went downhill. I mean, you can't get that same experience when you are dealing with Amazon for a Kindle download. I mean, you can get a whole lot of paid reviews. You don't get the real the meat of the business. If readers are confused. Readers are very confused. They don't know what's good. They don't know what isn't good. You know, you used to have that African-American bookseller who could tell you, hey, this is quality. This person, this book is fire. You know, this book has great editing. You don't get that anymore. All you get is a lot of Amazon push the like button, hit this keyword. So a lot of this stuff is just really false, and it's unfortunate because, you know, literature is something. I mean, how do we go down in history as to where we stand right now with literature? You know, are we going down with the James Baldwin and the, you know, the Duke Ellingtons and the people that really paved the way? Like, I don't feel that people take this industry serious anymore.
Word
you know, we say the best. You know, this person is the best, this person is doing this, this person can't even write an article or a press release or have even attempted to elevate the plot in the last 10 years. So, you know, it's just a whole lot of dysfunction that I see, you know, and
right.
I definitely commend the work that you guys are doing and definitely Godfather for taking his time and really learning the business. He is a pleasure to work with. I can share
things about the business with him, and he grasped that he is actually sitting here building his author platform. And I'm just very pleased with the people that I'm working with, and we're going to do our best to just keep the quality up.
And that's a good thing. And, Diva, let me ask you, since you brought up the bookstore thing, what do you think has turned it around for the bookstores? I know that there are a lot of different things going on. Like, have some of the bookstores even become a part of the hype where they're so into authors that they're not really telling readers what's quality work, but they're telling readers what's work of the people that they personally like or enjoy only? I think that
has been part of it. I also think part of it has been the pricing, and I think a lot of the downfall has been the pricing of the e-books. A retailer buys wholesale, so we're buying wholesale, and your book is the same price that it is on a Nook or Kindle, and they can get that same wholesale price. There is no incentive for us to want to purchase that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make any money. We become a showroom. You know, I mean, I have my loyals that still come through, but I also live in a metropolitan area where everyone's savvy, tech savvy, so, you know, people have smartphones and they have Kindles and they have Nooks. So it makes no sense for me to purchase wholesale books to just be a showroom for people who are coming through with devices. So, you know, we kind of, as publishers and authors, we were put in the trick bag by Amazon and a whole lot of other retailers because they said, oh, you don't have to pay anything to be on our platform. But we're paying every time that someone downloads our book. They get a percentage. We are paying. We are paying with our work being discounted so that we can't make a living. You know, it used to be save your money, print your book. Save your money, print your book. That happens no more because the quick gratification is what's wanted, but at the end of the day, you still come up short. But if I put that book in distribution, if I print those books, then I know that there's always checks that are coming in that are worth something. Not saying that people aren't making books, making money with e-books, but it's so short-lived. Yeah, you might price your book at $0.99, $2.99, and you might make a couple of thousand the first couple of months, and after that, you guys know it's all downhill. It's not like that in the paperback market. In the paperback market, you can hold your value and your weight. And that's what I am trying to teach my team to be more interested in being a household name and having staying power than being that quick gratification, okay, we're out on to the next one.
Erin, while we have her on here and she's speaking this expert advice, let's bring another caller in so that they can interact with her, they can interact with Godfather. This is Writing Royalty Radio. We have Erin Bebo. We have the fabulous Ms. Leisha, Ms. Tony. We're talking about reality becoming fiction or people fictionalizing their reality. What is still true blue in publishing? Erin, bring in a caller for me, please.
540-846. Good evening. You live with the Writing Royalty crew. The Godfather, and of course, the Diva.
What's going on, DC Book Diva Godfather? Y'all know 5-4, oh, that's Montana.
Yes, sir, that's Montana.
Man, you know what I got, the text message I was going to call in, man.
Come on, brother.
I was listening to so many good topics every time I hear this show, man. I can't add to it and really take nothing from it. But I know one thing and that I'm really disturbed about, and you can believe this as sure as Christians say Jesus is coming back, that I'm really a little perturbed at what they did with Bobby Womack. To me, he was an icon. I heard that one sister talking about music, I think she said something about the Ohio Players. That's my era. I showed up in 63. When you talk about the changes that I've seen, this, that, and the other that's going on in the city and the world, and even in this book market, I mean, it's a really rough thing. Me personally, I know where I made my mistakes at. And it's about paying my dues. And it was only through this show that I was able to go up to the city and meet DC Book Diva. I met Eon. I met Jason. I bought their books. I came out. I supported. I did my thing. But I knew deep down inside that it wasn't my time to be like them. See, I had to submit something and get it torn down, and that's my process. So when I think of the Godfather, and I love you, man, because you're the type of person that never looks down upon a person unless you're trying to help them up. And a lot of people just don't get that about you, man.
Wow.
But I get it.
Wow. Wow, that's
powerful. Yeah, I can't sit here and tell you about book sales because I don't get a lot of book sales. I get more money writing academic papers. Now, if we want to get academic, we can go there all day long because that's how I really get my money. But I know why I wasn't successful, and I'm trying to correct that. But I know one thing, and Allah is telling me this, don't stay in the urban fiction genre. And that's just my personal opinion. That's Montana, and that's just how I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I can't stay there. I can't compete with that. I can't, because the same thing that's bringing them up is going to be the same thing that's going to tear the pot. And it's already on the downside. It's already on the downside.
Mm. Speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speak it.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
I'm not mad about I don't have a whole lot of followers on Facebook. I'm not mad about my book didn't sell. Hey, man, it beats Count Time in Jail, I can tell you that. I'm out here, and I'm going to still keep on trying. I'm going to still keep on writing till something drops.
Yes.
So DC Book Divas, DC Book Divas, Nene, Earn, Tony, all y'all, I hope that one day I get the chance to, you know, y'all spotlight me on the show. But right now, it ain't my time, and I accept that.
Yes, sir. Well, as long as we here, you got a house here, you hit us up anytime. You got something new out, you need promoted or advertised, we would love to shout you out. Always, you know, hit Leisha inbox, and she will make sure that we get you in on commercial spots and things like that so that, you know, we can help you out in any way that we can. Just let us know.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that's, I also want to say a big thanks to my homie, Big DC Book Demon. We actually come out Northeast, but we don't know each other like that.
That's because Diva is young. Y'all know Diva is a teeny bopper. She's 16. She don't know nobody.
All know me,
but that's okay. It's great. I'm looking for you to submit your work to me. So hurry up and get that completed, sir.
That's a blessing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stay on because I know this is your moment with Godfather. I just wanted to show some support and call. And
Thank you.
A jewel. And you guys support his books, and he has a book coming out with us very shortly. Be on the lookout for that. And thank you so much for showing this team love. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for always showing us.
Thank you for coming through.
Yes.
Thank you.
Problem.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy. And thank you, caller. We appreciate you calling in and weighing in. And please call at any time. We're here for you.
Yes.
Yeah, we got another caller, too.
Have a good
caller. They've been holding for a while.
Okay, let them in.
570. 570-540.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm just listening. I pushed the one I didn't mean to. I was just listening. This Keisha.
Oh, what's up, Keisha?
I was just listening, learning. I didn't mean to push the one. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
He's definitely an avid reader, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Thanks, Keisha.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
We got another caller. We got 360-438.
Hey, Aaron.
Hello, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. This is Jane Pinella. Hi, Godfather.
Hey, what's good with you, Jane? How are you, Mom?
What's up, Jane? James out there where it's good at right now.
Yeah, Washington State.
Got the real readers on deck waiting for us. Let us know how you feel.
Hey, the Godfather's the real deal. There's no any realer. What y'all are saying is the truth. I've always bought paperback. It's hard sometimes out here to find anywhere that has urban books, so I had to go with the ebook. But yeah, you guys are right on point. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and Godfather is the best.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what's up.
And Nene, you know I love your book. Excuse me, Wes. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Thank you. And I appreciate it, and I love writing for you, and I thank you so much, and you hit me anytime.
Oh, you bet. And Aaron, you know, stop putting that food on Facebook, man.
That's why we have to spend 20 minutes at the beginning of the show talking about food, because Aaron gets us started.
I'm telling you.
Hey, I got to do something in between working.
Yeah, well, we're making some plans. We're trying to make some moves, so prayerfully we can make our way your way and be able to meet you and see you right there, you know, in the streets. Bring those books right back to the readers. We're trying to plan some wonderful things.
Most definitely. The West Coast is ready to blow up.
Oh, we're coming. We're coming. You're going to see us. We're going to be coming. We're coming out there because we need to be able to touch everybody. So we're coming that way, and we hopefully we get to be able to meet you and sit down with you and actually, you know, talk to you about literature.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
enjoy.
Thank you
thanks
for coming
calling.
In and sharing your time.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is Right and Royalty Radio. We on here tonight, you know, sharing these jewels with. We have Aaron. We have Leisha, we have Tony. We're all on here with the Godfather Wesley. He's come all the way over here from the West Coast, and he has given us that knowledge, those jewels, you know, what's missing in the industry, the truth. You know what I'm saying? Being true blue, sticking to your craft, sticking to your guns, and being able to express yourself no matter the cost. And we thank him for coming in the clubhouse tonight. DC Book Diva stopped by. We have wonderful, wonderful callers. Our listeners, our line is popping. The chat room on Facebook, the conversation in there is bananas. Stacey Leonard, Jim was in there. We had so many people I couldn't even keep up, but the readers are talking. They're weighing in. They're agreeing with the topics and things that are going on. So shout out to the chat room as well as our listening audience for calling and supporting the Godfather. He definitely has a home here on Right and Royalty, so we can't wait until your new stuff drops so we can be able to pump it and shout it out because, you know, we recognize your effort. You know, we recognize your effort and all your work, and it's commendable. And we thank you for, you know, under your circumstances, still trying to bring good literature to the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got one more caller if you want to take. We got time for one more caller.
Okay, bring them in.
336-251, good evening. You live with the Right and Royalty crew and the Godfather. What's going on?
Yo, what's good? What's good, Aaron? What's up, everybody? This is Michael.
Oh, what's
hey,
up, Michael? How are you?
Hi, how are you?
What's good? You know I had to call in to support.
Yes, Team DC in the house.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's
up. What's going on, Mike? What's the word? How you feel about what's going on?
I mean, you know, I agree with what y'all saying. You know, I don't really add too much to that.
We thank you for calling in and showing the support. We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
We got to have you in the clubhouse. Have we had Mike? I don't know if we've had the pleasure.
Nah, y'all
ain't had me on there yet.
We're going to get you on the schedule. Yes,
that's what's
going
on here.
Definitely, definitely, because he got some heat on his pen. We want to be able to get him in here and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate that.
And we appreciate
you calling in.
You can call in anytime.
Special edition Mike O Show.
Sure, make sure you call in, Godfather. Make sure you call in then.
Absolutely. You know I'm going to call. You know I'm there. you know that I'm there. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, man, showing support.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
All
enjoy
right, stay up.
Wow, all this has been a wonderful, wonderful show. We thank everybody. The Godfather has something new, refreshing, coming really soon out of DC Book Divas Camp. Make sure you guys are watching her posts, watching her articles to see what's new and up and coming out of her camp. And we thank him for coming into the clubhouse. We thank everybody for listening. Before we go, Aaron, you're going to have to drop me a beat. Thank you, Godfather. We love you.
All right. Y'all have it. Y'all take it easy. Have a good one.
All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Peace.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, yo, call Bishop and tell him come through because, you know, we got some duns we got to handle. So, you know, I put the Glock to the doctor, told him take me to the pharmacy. I need Percocets and Oxys to distribute to the drugged out mamas. I need a profit. Gotta cop that Megatron, fast forward 10 years, I need a cop or firearm. That 38 was at my waistline. Mama never knew I had to work inside the bait line, and I ain't lying. I think it's time I tell her to the baby boy clocking more numbers than a ledger. Allegedly selling ecstasy to adolescents. Need a bison fur coat for cold storms that I don't weather. And now I'm with no watch on my right hand. Never sleep without a clock on my nightstand. Chopper in my right hand. Pray God forgive me. I heard these niggas been speaking ill on my name lately, but that's fine. The